See you later.
Welcome to another edition of Red and Gold. With the 2013 NFL Draft officially in the books, it's safe to say the Chiefs are moving full speed ahead toward football season. As always, we're here to tell you all about what's going on in the Chiefs' kingdom. Coming up, we visit Operation Breakthrough with some of the Chiefs' tight ends and wide receivers as they get active with Play 60 drills. Yay! Then I catch up with Chiefs cornerback Brandon Flowers to talk about his off-season training and the vibe back at minicamp.
Oh, that's what it's all about, the chemistry. You know, other guys from other teams been in different locker rooms before this one. Just getting to know each other, what each other like, what each other don't like, just so we can gel, so it can be a smooth transition throughout the season.
And we sit down with Chiefs Hall of Fame running back Ed Podolak.
It was the greatest time of my life and one of those things that you can't repeat. And to run into a stadium and hear 80,000 people cheer is an incredible high.
The NFL has finally released the 2013 game schedule, and the kingdom is already abuzz with fans analyzing matchups and planning those extravagant tailgates. Now our own Chiefs insider, Reed Farron, gets us in the know on where the Chiefs are headed and what teams will be making their way to Arrowhead in the 2013 season.
Hey fans, Chiefs insider Reed Farron here. Well, the 2013 NFL regular season schedule is set in stone. All 16 regular season games have official dates and times, and it looks like we're in for quite a year in the coming season. With the 2012 records, the Chiefs have the 28th toughest schedule to face in the league. Don't be fooled though. With divisional matchups against the NFC East and the AFC South, there's plenty to keep our Chiefs coaches and players busy with in the offseason. The Chiefs start out the 2013 season on the road with an AFC South matchup against the new-look Jacksonville Jaguars. In addition to a new logo, the Jaguars are also featuring a new head coach and GM as they try to bounce back from a disappointing 2012. From there, the team will head back to Arrowhead to face the Dallas Cowboys in the home opener. This will be the first time the Cowboys have come to Arrowhead since 2009, when the Chiefs lost 20-26 in overtime. Boosting the Chiefs' odds of getting revenge is Andy Reid, who is no stranger to the Cowboys, sporting a 17-11 record against Dallas during his time with the Eagles. Speaking of the Eagles, that will be the Chiefs' Week 3 opponent under the lights in Philadelphia on NFL Network's Thursday Night Football. All eyes will be on Andy Reid as he returns to the town where he won 6 division titles and 1 NFC championship during his 14 years with the team. Of course, that won't be the only storyline, as fans will get an up-close look at former Oregon head coach Chip Kelly as he attempts to translate his college success to the NFL. The NFC East trend continues in Week 4. The Chiefs return home to host Eli Manning and the New York Giants before heading on the road in Week 5 to take on Chris Johnson and the Tennessee Titans. Week 6 will feature the Chiefs' first divisional matchup of the season as they take on the Oakland Raiders at home. The Chiefs haven't won at home versus the Raiders since 2006, so circle your calendars, Chiefs fans. That's one streak we can't allow to continue. The good news for Chiefs fans, Alex Smith is 2-0 versus the Raiders, going 31-52 for 361 yards and 5 touchdowns. Let's hope he can stay hot in 2013. The Chiefs will continue their homestand with 2 more games in Weeks 7 and 8 against the Texans and Browns, before heading back on the road to play the Bills in Week 9. The Chiefs have played the Bills for 6 straight seasons, virtually unheard of for 2 non-divisional teams. They've had a rough history in recent years against Buffalo, losing their last 2 games, so they'll look to reverse that trend in 2013. The Chiefs' bye comes in Week 10, giving them a chance to prepare for their Week 11 matchup in Denver. In what's appeared to be football's equivalent of an arms race, the Broncos have spent their offseason stocking up on wide receivers, including the mega free agent Wes Welker, and the Chiefs have been stocking up on cornerbacks, including Sean Smith and Dante Robinson. Chiefs corners versus Broncos wide receivers will certainly be a matchup to watch in 2013. From there, the Chiefs keep it in the division, coming back to KC to take on the new-look Chargers before hosting the Denver Broncos the following week. Week 14 will send the Chiefs to the capital city to take on the Washington Redskins. Everyone will be curious to see if RG3 will have fully recovered from a torn ACL by then, or will the Chiefs be facing backup Kirk Cousins? Only time will tell. Chiefs fans will also notice a familiar face on the opposing sideline, as this will be the first time the team has faced former Denver coach Mike Shanahan since he was let go by the Broncos in 2008. Week 15 will send the Chiefs to Oakland before coming back in Week 16 to host the Indianapolis Colts for the 2nd year in a row. And finally, to finish off the season, the Chiefs will have to travel to San Diego for a divisional matchup that could have playoff implications. The 2013 regular season is closer than you think, In just under 5 months, Arrowhead Stadium is going to be rocking when the Dallas Cowboys come to town for the home opener. Even now, the coaches and players for the Kansas City Chiefs are working out, practicing, preparing for the coming season. We hope to see you there.
As you can see, there are some awesome matchups coming up this season. Wow, football cannot get here fast enough. The Chiefs players have been back in the building these past few weeks with voluntary minicamp and the start of rookie minicamp. We had the chance to catch up with one of the Chiefs' most exciting defensive players, Brandon Flowers.
Flacco unloads it near sideline, intercepted Flowers! Brandon Flowers jumps the route! Picked off, it's Brandon Flowers at the 40, at the 30, Flowers looks at Carson Palmer and says goodnight!
I'm with Chiefs cornerback, the one and only Brandon Flowers. Now, Brandon, this offseason has been extremely busy. New coaches, new staff changes. What is the energy of the team right now?
You know, change is good, and we also happy to have a new coaching staff. They're getting everybody psyched and ready to go. And the key additions we brought in, great players. We couldn't wait to work with them, so today was great going out on the field, having fun, working with our new teammates.
What's it been like working with Coach Reed and his new philosophy that he brings to the table?
It's an honor. You know, I've been watching Coach Reed since I was in high school and college. You know, he has the eye of a tiger. He wants everything done in perfection. That'll take our team a long way, so it's going to be fun getting back together with the offense, defense, competing with a great coach like that on our hands.
Speaking of new additions, you have a lot of guys coming in the defensive backfield. What's it like working with those guys?
You know, I love it. You know, I watched those guys on film over the years. They're great cornerbacks that can play man coverage. That's what we need here in Kansas City. Just have us all on the same field competing, you know, outworking each other just to see who can get their hands on more balls. It's a great fun, great competition. I love it.
There's also a new defensive coordinator, Bob Sutton. Although you haven't spent too much time with him, what's it like working with him?
He comes from a great scheme. He's very detailed in his coaching and his teaching. He's going to take this defense a long way. A lot of guys are on the same page with him. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, even though it's the offseason, I'm sure you've still been hard at work. What is it that you've been up to?
I've just been getting back to Kansas City, getting the weather, soaking the weather in, coming from Florida, you know, just going to my favorite eating restaurant. Just taking Kansas City back in as a whole, you know, a good thing being back.
Being back, working with everybody during minicamp right now, how important is this time before the season to build that team camaraderie?
Oh, that's what it's all about, the chemistry. You know, other guys from other teams been in different locker rooms before this one. Just getting to know each other, what each other like, what each other don't like, just so we can gel, so it can be a smooth transition throughout the season.
Stay tuned. When Red and Gold returns, we connect with Chiefs Hall of Fame running back Ed Podolak.
Out of the team that I joined as a rookie, 10 or 11 of those players were picked on the all-time AFL team. So I was surrounded by great talent.
And then the tight ends and wide receivers spend an afternoon with some local youth. It's trivia time. What was the original team name of the Chiefs? A, Tornadoes, B, Oklahomans, C, Mules, or D, Texans? When we return, we'll reveal the answer. Would you like a behind-the-scenes look at Arrowhead Stadium? Then come on out to Arrowhead for one of our amazing stadium tours. You'll visit the Founders Club, the Scout Investments Club level, the Hall of Honor presented by Time Warner Cable, the team locker room, and walk along the field itself. We have a number of tour options to fit your style, and we can't wait to see you at Arrowhead Stadium. For dates and times, visit goarrowhead.com for more information. Welcome back. Before the break, we asked you, what was the original team name of the Chiefs? The answer is D. The Chiefs were originally the Dallas Texans. Lamar Hunt moved his team to Kansas City in 1963, and the team was renamed the Kansas City Chiefs. Throughout the history of the Chiefs organization, we've been lucky enough to witness some incredible players. Players that have made us love the team even more than we thought possible. Players who have touched our hearts, and players who will forever be known as legends. One of those legends is Chiefs Hall of Famer Ed Podolak.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in Southwest Iowa, and at that time, the University of Iowa had a great football program, so I decided to go to Iowa. I went as a quarterback and played until the fifth game of my senior year as a quarterback. At that time, we had some injuries, and they moved me to tailback under the understanding that if it didn't work, I'd go back to quarterback, and it obviously ended up working, and that gave me a shot of playing as a tailback in the National Football League. But fortunately, Hank Stram had seen a game that I guess I had against Notre Dame, is what he tells me, and that put me way up on his draft board. When it came time to draft in 1969 in the second round, he took me as a tailback. It was quite an assignment to come into Kansas City as a tailback with the Heisman Trophy winner being the starter. Hank Stram stood by me because my rookie year, I tore a hamstring, missed 9 weeks of the season, had a couple of games that were not good. And he said, I'm depending on you, now let's get it done. When that season started the next fall, he had a lot of trust in me. And partway through that season, he traded Mike Garrett to San Diego and I became a starting tailback. So when I joined the team, it was pretty much all in place. There were only, as I remember, four rookies that made the team that year. The leaders in the locker room were all there. And so it was a terrific experience to be accepted as part of this team of really great players. In fact, I think out of the team that I joined as a rookie, 10 or 11 of those players were picked on the all-time AFL team. So I was surrounded by great talent. Well, you know, the Super Bowl at that time was Super Bowl IV. And so there wasn't the big buildup that there is today. In fact, we had beaten Oakland in Oakland on Sunday night, flew to Kansas City, got in very late, and we had till 1 o'clock the next day to pack because we left for New Orleans because the game was the next Sunday. You had to prepare for a team that you hadn't seen at all because it came from the other conference. And so the pressure and the scrambling around to get all that done seems overbearing now when you compare it to what teams do with the week off. We got to New Orleans, and all of a sudden, the next thing you knew, it was game time. From looking at the films, we were a much better team than what people thought. I'm not sure that if we'd have played them five times, Minnesota could have ever scored 16 points against us. And so as the game went on, you could tell we were going to win it, and you got more and more excited. And of course, I didn't get to play a big part of it, played special teams only because of the injury I'd had during the season. But to be part of that group is something you'll never forget.
They're beating the best that the NFL has to offer out here today.
The greatest day in the history of Kansas City. This team is the greatest in the universe.
Well, the 71 season, I was now the starting tailback, was very exciting to me because we knew we were good. And I think a lot of people think we might have been better than the 69 team. As we got into the playoffs, Miami was headed into Kansas City to play. It was Christmas Day, and the game went back and forth and back and forth the entire game. Toward the end of the game, there was a kickoff return that I had that just almost broke for the full distance, but a reserve defensive back had an angle on me, ran me down. I was a little tired by that time, I think. Probably carried the ball about 40 times before then. It forced us into overtime as we didn't score on that drive. The rest of the game then is just really a blur because we played six quarters. At some point during that, Nick Bonacani was the middle linebacker at Miami, and we'd probably run into each other about 25 times because he'd made a lot of tackles and I'd carried the ball a lot of times. And I looked up at him as he's laying on top of me and I said, "Do you think this thing will ever be over?" And he said, "I'm hoping it's soon." Unfortunately, when it got over, it went the wrong way. But that was obviously a day that I'll never forget. Yeah, I think my record still stands of the 350 total yards I had in that game. Probably has a good chance of standing because of all the specialists that they use now today. Who knows? That one may hang around for a while. It obviously was so disappointing to me because I had not been able to be an integral part of the 69 championship team. And if we'd have been able to go on that year and win a second ring, I'd have felt like I really deserved that one. Well, you know, it was the years 70, 71, 72, 73. Those years and the new stadium and Monday Night Football and NFL films were just coming alive back then. And I got to be part of it. Kansas City was a terrific town that it was full of things to do. The Plaza was really one of the top places in the world to live. It was the greatest time of my life, and one of those things that you can't repeat. You know, as a professional athlete, you have to understand that you'll never, ever be able to experience the highs that you had at that time. To run into a stadium and hear 80,000 people cheer is an incredible high.
Presents Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Starring Kenny Chesney and Eric Church. Eli Young Band. And introducing Casey Musgraves. Saturday, June 15th at Arrowhead Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Available at all Ticketmaster ticket outlets. Kenny Chesney and friends in concert.
Welcome back. The Chiefs Community Caring Team works year-round to give back to the Kansas City area. NFL Play 60 is the NFL's campaign to encourage kids to be active for 60 minutes a day and help reverse the trend of childhood obesity. Throughout the year, groups of Chiefs players will visit schools all around the KC area to promote a healthy and active lifestyle. Recently, the wide receivers and tight ends went out to Operation Breakthrough to visit some local kids and Play 60. Honestly, I think the players had just as much fun as the kids.
So the Chiefs Community Caring Team is getting out, making sure that all of Chiefs Kingdom is getting active. We went out to Operation Breakthrough with some members of our wide receivers and our tight end corps, and we split them up in different groups and let them in stations. It was really cool to see the interaction. Our wide receivers and tight ends did a really good job kind of getting down their level and having really as much fun as the kids were. It was kind of a blustery day, and yet our guys really got into it, and the kids seemed to have a great time.
Let's do 10 push-ups for the camera. Are you ready? You're gonna watch me, okay?
Well, you know, we got to come out here and help the kids and go through different stations and just take them through these different drills, you know, and show them how important it is to come out here and do things and stay active and not just stand in the house playing PlayStation and your Wii and things like that. So it's definitely important to get out here and come and help these kids out and do these things in the off season.
All the way through, right?
You know, we came out putting on a Play 60 event, you know, teaching the kids a couple exercises, you know, stay fit, stay healthy, just to be active and, you know, stay out of trouble. It's just important for kids to learn just different things, to stay active and take home to their friends and stuff like that.
They were very excited, you know, put a lot of smiles on a lot of kids' faces, you know, and that's the main thing, and you know that they understand the importance of doing these things, so it'll help them down in the long run. So it definitely is fun and important for us to be able to come out here and help these young kids out.
It was exciting, you know, the kids had great attitudes, we did a lot of fun drills. All in all, it was, you know, a good time, fun time for everybody.
We just try to do whatever we can to do help people in the community. You know, that's an important thing to us, you know, to give back. We're all blessed to give back to the community, and doing these things in the off season, doing these things during the season, it's a helpful thing, and we enjoy doing it. So whatever we can do to give back, we will.
1, 2, 3, Chiefs!
It's time for some trivia. How well do you know your Chiefs? Which Chiefs punter has punted the ball the most in team history? A, Jim Arnold, B, Louis Aguiar, C, Dustin Colquitt, or D, Gerald Wilson. When we return, we'll reveal the answer. Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs. Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365. Welcome back. Before the break, we asked you, which Chiefs punter has punted the ball the most in team history? The answer is D, Gerald Wilson. Gerald Thunderfoot Wilson booted the ball 1,018 times for an incredible 44,218 yards. That's over 25 miles. Wilson spent 15 seasons in Kansas City and was inducted into the Chiefs Hall of Fame in 1988. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Red and Gold. If you missed any of the show, check it out at kcchiefs.com or follow me on Twitter at kcchiefs_Rachel. To keep up with the Chiefs 24/7, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Prizes are given away all the time, and we keep you in the know of all things Chiefs. Until next time, go Chiefs!
Toss power trap.